The April Agricultural Industry and Planning Committee to order. Could I please have approval for minutes from March 3rd and March 22nd?
Hilda, I move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, we're going to move quickly into the presentation on the National Heritage Area Designation. I'm going to call upon Matt first to give us just a short overview presentation of what this is all about. And Cindy Kimball will give us more information.
Great. All right. So I'm sure most everyone in this room is probably aware the National Park Service has been tasked with evaluating the Finger Lakes region for potential designation as a national heritage area. And part of that process is to conduct a feasibility study with a public comment and evaluation of public support. So I have Chuck Lawson, I believe, is on the line. He's from the National Park Service, and he's here to talk about the National Heritage Area Program, the current status of the feasibility study, and then how Steuben County can be a viable partner during that whole process. So, Chuck, I'm sure you're on mute. I think he has a presentation as well.
Yeah, would you like me to start? Morning, everybody.
Great. Morning.
Morning.
Yes? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to try to share this. Oh, I can't. It's
should I try? Are you working on it, Amanda?
Yes. You should be set.
You should be able to share it now.
All right. 2 seconds. All right. I think you guys can see it now. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me. Like Matt said, my name is Chuck Lawson. I work for the National Park Service out in Denver in an office that assists the both individual parks and our national and regional programs with planning and environmental compliance, and then things like this feasibility study for National Heritage Area status. Special studies, also things associated with identifying new parks and heritage areas. I'm here with you this morning briefly just to describe the study itself and a little bit about what's going on and what we're up to. Let's see if I can advance this. All right. So I have this brief presentation. I think it's been shared with you guys too. I think you have the slides. They're great. They have some good links on them for information and then also for how the public can comment. But I'm gonna talk a little bit about what heritage areas are, what they aim to accomplish through what feasibility studies are and what they aim to accomplish through the evaluation of some specific criteria, and then also why we are conducting the feasibility study in the Finger Lakes right now. During the presentation, I'll share information about the NHA program, links to their website, and most importantly, information on how the public and organizations can comment during the feasibility study project. And that after that, I can take any questions that you guys may have. So what are national heritage areas? Right now, there are 55 of them designated in 34 states across the U.S., each one of them was created through an individual federal law. Heritage areas are designated by Congress as places where natural, cultural, and historic resources combine to form a cohesive, nationally important landscape. Through the resources that are inside of that landscape, they tell nationally important stories that celebrate the country's diverse heritage. They are lived-in landscapes. As you can see, some of them are quite large and made up of many different communities and community sizes. Consequently, heritage area entities, the folks who manage them, collaborate with the communities and organizations inside of them to find ways to make heritage relevant to local interests and needs. A big thing that I want to make sure everybody takes away is that heritage areas are not national park units. Rather, the National Park Service partners with them, can provide technical assistance, and it serves as the vehicle for distributing federal funds from Congress to NHA entities. The National Park Service assumes no ownership of land inside a heritage area, nor does it impose any kind of land use controls associated with a designation. So a little bit more about heritage areas. As I mentioned, they're designed to recognize the national importance of a region's unique sites and history. Congress designates them through additional legislation that legislation typically also identifies a local coordinating entity. That entity is well placed to run the activities of an NHA in kind of a grassroots fashion via partnerships and cooperation with other people and organizations that are inside of the heritage area. Once they're established, federal appropriations are passed to them, as I mentioned, from the National Park Service. And although most entities are typically authorized to receive up to $1 million annually, there's never enough money in the NHA program coffers to distribute that kind of cash. So actual appropriations typically range from $150,000 federal dollars to up to $750,000. All of that money, the federal money that's given to NHAs, has to be matched through other partnerships developed by the local coordinating entity. And those coordinating entities leverage those federal funds to support long-term projects, and with the idea being fosters pride an enduring sense of stewardship ethic amongst the general public, because they're closely related to the activities of the heritage area. What are some of the kinds of things that they do? Conservation and natural resources, invasive species, toxic site cleanups, river cleanups, litter patrol type things. Historic preservation projects are big. Both the actual work to like fix up a historic structure, but also documentation and National Register documentation, things like that. Oral histories. Recreational projects, trail programs are big. Education and interpretation type things, enhancing the ability for the public to experience a historic or a natural resource inside of the heritage area. Community development projects, things like Main Street revitalizations and streetscape improvements. And then a big one is economic development, support for things like heritage tourism and other kinds of and outdoor recreational activities. Feasibility study. So what is going on in the Finger Lakes right now? Basically, a feasibility study is a report that documents the processes that are undertaken by the National Park Service with the help of residents of a region to determine whether or not their landscape has those distinctive resources and that tell a nationally important story, and then also the local capacity necessary to manage a heritage area if one were to be designated. The process for conducting this study is laid out in the evaluation of 10 specific criteria that seek to answer two basic questions. Is that unique, nationally important story being told in a particular study area, and can it be experienced by the public? And then also, is there public support, which is why we need help getting the word out, is there public support for a National Heritage Area designation, and is there an organization poised to manage it if it was created? Why? So why is the National Park Service doing a study of the Finger Lakes? In 2019, Congress passed the Dingell Act, which had a whole slew of legislation associated with public lands management. One of the things that it directed the Secretary of the Interior to do and the National Park Service on their behalf was to conduct a feasibility study of designating the Finger Lakes region of New York and specifically the 14 counties that are on the map on this slide here determining if it was eligible as a national heritage area. So our work on this study, basically the answer of why we're doing it is because Congress told us to. We don't do these on our own. We take that direction in legislation. Our work will result in findings that will be delivered to the Secretary of the Interior, who will then prepare a recommendation to Congress. But it's important to note that the study itself will not create a heritage area, nor will it halt the creation of a heritage area. That designation can only be delivered by Congress, and they are able to act without the study findings, or they can choose to create an NHA, even if the study findings are negative, or they could choose not to act on the findings at all if they are positive. So basically, it takes another piece of legislation to get all the way to the end. Our timeline for the project, we've been working on this since late 2019. In 2020, we had plans to visit and evaluate. The study team was going to come and evaluate the region in person. That trip was stymied by COVID. So in place of that, I see Cindy on the phone here. I'll thank you right now for the assistance with this. We held a series of 14 focus group calls with local historians, education specialists, natural resource specialists, tourism promoters, and recreation specialists, and asked them to share with us some of those unique stories of the Finger Lakes, and then tell us also about the places that represent those stories. We use that work, what we gathered out of those very informative focus group calls, along with academic research, to develop a historic context document that includes draft themes, which are kind of the early version of those potentially nationally important stories. And the document also includes a resource list for the So we're asking the public to look over that document, and basically it's us showing what we know about the Finger Lakes and what we've learned, and then we're hoping that the public will tell us what we have missed or what is most important that we have identified in what we've shared, and that we should focus on as we do move further into the evaluation. In addition to the review of that context and document, and the other big reason I'm here today is get out the word that we also need information on that, on support for the idea of a heritage area, for or against. But that's something that we're also asking the public to share with us, and comments close in June 1st. Then after that, once we have everything collected up, over the rest of the calendar year, we will be working on the drafting the study and getting it submitted via leadership in the Park Service to the secretary. And then at that point, the schedule is out of the study team's hands, and they kind of work on their own schedule. I mentioned before, there's a little bit about the criteria and what we're looking at, that the study follows these 10 specific steps. Basically, they're influenced by these five buckets of things that are on the screen right now. The first three of these are kind of tied up in that document that's under review, basically asking, does the landscape have those historic, cultural, and natural resources that can come together and tell at least one important national story? Are there opportunities for the public to experience those resources, and if a heritage area was designated, would they be able to improve the quality of that experience and the resources themselves? And then the third one being, are there ongoing traditions and customs that are tied back to that nationally important story? And then these last two on the screen here are really the questions that we can't answer just by learning about a place. But is there an organization that has the financial and organizational capacity to coordinate a heritage area if one was created? And then lastly, this idea of, is there public support for an NHA designation and support for that coordinating entity? And are there potential partners? And this is where folks can help us out on this too. Are there organizations, local governments, people out there in the world that have expressed an interest and said they're willing to work with a heritage area coordinating entity to advance the activities of what a heritage area would do. Commitments from the public organizations and governments that they are on board with the idea of a heritage area. I added this slide so that you would have it, this link to the National Heritage Area program website. There's a lot of information on there about what they do, what they are, links to the other 55 that exist, as well as more information about feasibility studies. And then my last slide in here is the probably the most important one. It has the links that allow the public to learn more about the study and also to comment on it. The first link is a dedicated website that talks about the what we understand about the Finger Lakes. It has an interactive that resource list is in an interactive map format. Lots of information about similar to what I just presented. That second link, the historic context document, is that report that I mentioned that we're hoping to get comments on. And then the third link there is part of that same website, but it's where you can go to provide some responses to survey questions that help us get at that idea of public support. And then the last thing is my email address there. I'm also totally able to accept materials and questions from any of you all or from the public. That's what people are welcome to share that as well.
Interject. Cindy, you want to dovetail onto his comments, please? You're muted, Cindy. You got to unmute.
Absolutely. First of all, Chuck, it's been a pleasure working with the folks at the National Park Service. But what I think it's important for the county to consider is a potential resolution that would support this project. And I know Kevin has provided to you a template that could be considered. And what we're looking for at the county level is a resolution to support the project. A second piece is a resolution to support the 14 county area for this particular National Heritage Area. And the reason that is so important is the Finger Lakes region is the only vacation region that was designated by law back in 1967. So when Chuck is talking about being able to secure the matching funds and all of that, it will be very important for us to have the ability to apply for state funds, and they're going to look to ensure we're encompassing the full Finger Lakes region as a tourism entity when we're applying for funds at a state level to match the federal funds. So what we need are letters of support from each of you, hopefully individually. We need you to engage with the public comment section that is going to end on June the 1st. We're hopeful the county will pass a resolution to support this project. And the third piece of the resolution would be to support FLTA as the lead entity. FLTA has a lot of experience in working with the federal government. Many of you may be familiar with FLOPA, Finger Lakes and Lake Ontario Water Protection Agency. It was through that organization that we received federal funds and then re-granted them back at the county level to help protect water. So we've been doing this for years, and our intent would be to start off with FLTA as the lead entity, and then we'll form a separate 501c3 that would actually be the organization running the National Heritage Area. So I am going to send to Kevin a document that includes all of the activities that you can do to help support this activity, because I think you heard Chuck say how important community support is, and we're looking for you to help us support. I want to thank this group for passing a resolution several years ago, back around 2018-19 for the National Heritage Area. That resolution that you passed did help us have the ability to go back and work to get the funding secured from the National Heritage Area. This time we're looking for a new resolution that would support the National Heritage Area product, the 14 counties, and FLTA as the lead entity. So I will get that document on to Kevin and Amanda, and then they can share it with everyone. So you will have outlined for you all of the steps you can take. one of which will be to join Chuck and I on April the 12th from 2 to 4. Chuck will be presenting and I will be presenting at that particular meeting, and we're hopeful that we can count on all of you for support.
Okay, at this time, can I ask for any questions from legislators on the presentation?
Yeah, Robin, I have a question for Chuck. I'm more interested in what kind of control is there in place if we become a national heritage area? And I use as a reference, when places in communities get added to the National Historic Registry, it gets very tight controls on what people can do with their properties, with buildings, that type of thing. So if we become part of this National Historic or National Heritage Area, are there any controls on what people can do with their land, with their buildings, and other things?
So I can do a short answer on that and say no, not directly associated with a designation from a heritage area. There are no land control. There's nothing like that that comes from a designation. However, you know, sometimes active heritage area entities, you know, move local ordinances. They may support things like that that people could do anyway. Local communities putting streets, like things associated with, like I mentioned, those streetscape improvements. You might have historic preservation easements or conservation easements, and a heritage area might be supportive of those kinds of things. But there is nothing that comes from the federal government that would require anything like that.
Okay, thank you.
More questions? All right. If there are none, thank you, Chuck and Cindy. I think we'd be looking for those resolutions. I would also ask that legislators seriously consider doing individual support letters. I do have a question for either Jack or Jack.
Anybody catch that?
Your mic just died. Sorry with the feedback, Robin. I didn't hear it.
Okay. Are we linking this National Heritage proposal on our Steuben County website so the public can view it and maybe comment?
We certainly can, yeah.
I think it would be a good idea to do that.
Will do.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay. And we will certainly take a serious look at it. I don't anticipate, I mean, we've been talking about this for a few years now. And I just see the advantages, not only for some of the Main Street development, accessing grants, but also economic development, you know, that could be advantageous to us. I agree with Mr. Chairman Van Etten that if you put more restrictions on us, it's not going to be something we're going to favor. So thank you for answering that question.
Robin, this is Hilda.
Yes.
There was April 12th meeting, is there going to be a link that we can access to get into that meeting?
Absolutely. I'm going to send that along to you following this meeting. And with that, I do have to jump off because I need to be on the Wayne County call about 3 minutes ago. So,
okay. Thank you, Cindy.
Should you have any questions, please email me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, if that's it for this topic, Chuck, you can remain with us or sign off. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you guys for having me. I'll leave you to it. See ya.
And if legislators have other questions, they certainly can email Cindy, but Matt Sosa also has a good connection, as does Kevin Coskello too, for that matter. So there's lots of people we can consult. So moving on to the next topic, Jack, Chris, do you have anything?
Nope, all set this month.
Okay, then I will call upon Kevin to give us a Steuben County Conference and Visitors Bureau update.
Good morning, everyone, and happy 2021. I think we're all excited to see 2020 in the rearview mirror. So Thank you for the time. I just wanted to do kind of a quick update on some of the activities that the CVB has been doing since the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And so I didn't put together a presentation because I have a few web resources that I want to share. So I can share my screen. Great. So the first thing that I wanted to share with you is a project that we've been working on since the beginning, the end of last year and into this year. It's a new widget that we've added to our website. So if you go to our tourism website, CorningFingerLakes.com, you'll see the widget pull up here in the corner, and you click on that and it opens up, and it's a new trip planner resource, but also a mobile app that goes along with it that helps us to get our business listings up front and center. We did some research on how people were interacting with our website, and it's very common that people are not going more than two or three pages deep into a website. And typically on any tourism website, the places that matter, your business listings, are two or three pages deep. So we wanted to get them right up front and center for people to be able to interact with and use the tool to create their own itineraries. So this is the what it looks like on the web platform. And there's also a mobile version of it for people to download. And so it has all of our business listings on there throughout the county. People can scroll through, pick an attraction. It gives details on that attraction. It links directly out to their website where they could map it, where it is in Steuben County. It's broken down into categories like our attractions. They can just select the museums if they wanted to and be able to figure out where they are, our agritourism attractions, our outdoor recreation amenities. And we're working on this project with Matt and his staff to help improve the mapping functionality of it. So they're helping us out with some GIS mapping that we're incorporating into this project. So thank you, Matt and his team. It's got all of our wineries on there, our restaurants, places to stay, and then some tours, which are itineraries that we put together that people can decide to go on, or they can create their own plan. So they can pick a tour. So for example, this tour, if they pick that, it goes up into what's called My Plan, and that's their itinerary. They click on that and it gives them directions on where to go. They can change the itinerary around if they wanted to by grabbing it and moving it, depending on where their start location is. It's geo-focused, so it uses a person's current location. So here I am in the office and I start my trip. It gives me directions from each attraction to the next attraction, and I'm on my way. So we've got that for the general tourism site. And we also have it for our Crafter Adventure Craft Beverage Trail. The reason that we went with this new widget, we had a Crafter Adventure mobile app before through our website provider, SimpleView. We weren't very impressed with the technology, so we did a little research for some companies that could help us to create a new app. Turns out this company, Visit Widget, that we work with to create this, the price point for what we were paying for just the Craft Your Adventure app was less than what we are paying now for the Explore Steuben app and the Crafter Adventure app. So we're able to save some dollars, purchase a new product, and have seen some substantial downloads. Pretty excited about that. So Crafter Adventure, it's got all of the breweries, distilleries, cideries. This is a regional project, so we're partnered with Chemung County, Schuyler County, and Yates County on this. So it has more assets than just what we have in the county. The interesting thing about this is, again, we can create tours, but we also have created what's called a challenge. So we sort of gamify people going out to the different beverage establishments. So the objective is to go to 35, of course, not 35 in one day, because that's impossible. It'd be dangerous. And so they go to like Cider Creek, and when they're there with the mobile app, they can check in. So one, they have to download the app in order to do the passport challenge. Once you have the app, you go to the location. It shows on your phone that you're there, and you check in. And after you check into 25, it's or the 35, it sends us a message, and we send them a T-shirt for all their hard work and fun out on the beverage trail. So those are two things that I just wanted to share with you, just for your knowledge that they're there. They are on the App Store and Google Play. So depending if you have an Apple or Android phone, you can download either one of those two apps and have fun on the Crafter Adventure Trail or learn a little bit more about Steuben County. Maybe you haven't been to everywhere that has a tourism attraction in the county. So that'll help you to find some of your own locations in Steuben County. So happy to answer questions on those two or keep going on what the rest of two things I'm going to present.
I say keep going.
Okay. So one of the things that we also started considering towards the end of last year was how we needed to track better data in order to understand the tourism marketplace and to reflect upon COVID and the effects of COVID and to understand how we're coming out of the pandemic and where we would put our resources to draw more tourists into the destination. So we contracted with this company. Their name was Entrada when we contracted with them. They went through a branding change and now it's Zartico. I don't know why. I thought Entrada was better, but anyways, that's the name of the company. What they do is they pool all of our data and aggregate it into this dashboard. So we have some contracts with companies like Smith Travel Research, which shows us all of our occupancy data at our hotel properties. They're linked to our Google Analytics on our website and those two apps that I just showed you. Excuse me. We also, through the contract, have a contract with this company called Uber Media. And what Uber Media does is track cell phone data in marketplace. So we provided Zartico with points of interests throughout the county. And they put a pin on all of those and are able to track people who come and go into those areas. And they can track it over a period of time, but dating back to June of 2019. So there's back data involved with this. But basically, it tells us the ebb and flow of people. So for example, this is a visitor volume chart from Uber Media. The blue, light blue line was last year. And this is this year, as we see an increase in people coming, we can look at a 30-day range. We can look at the last 12 months. And you can see the trends of the growth in people coming into the destination. It tells us where they're coming from and how long they stayed. So it's broken down into categories, four trips, four nights, long trips. Goes off if I just wanted to look at overnight stays and where people are coming from in that time frame, what the most popular point of interest is based on the pins that we've placed in there. It gives us some of their behavior and habits. So origin markets, where they came from year over year. So Rochester was obviously a big market for us. Buffalo is a big market for us this year. New York City became a really big market for us last year. And again, this year, due to COVID, people wanted to get out of the city. It tells us overnight, so who stayed and how that's progressing. So we do see an increase in overnights over last year and where those people who stayed overnight are coming from. So it's pretty robust data. And with this, my intention is to create a quarterly report and supply that to Chris and Jack, and they can, or I can disseminate it on a quarterly basis to the AIP committee, however you would like me to do that. And on top of that, we have a contract with a company called Key Data, which is a property management company who looks at all of the short-term rental in Steuben County. So they supply that to us. right now it's scrape data from Airbnb and Vrbo. And this kind of shows on a map those properties in Steuben County. So up here it says there's about 400 listings. Some of those listings are redundant listings where they're on Airbnb and Vrbo. So it's a little bit less than this, probably about a 320 range as opposed to 400, because there's duplicate properties. And here's where the bulk of them are. And so we're able to kind of zoom in on a property, pick one and check out their listing. So we know in essence where they are. It doesn't give us their street address or who the owner is, but it does show the listing on Airbnb. We're able to track performance measures and use a filter to kind of pick the dates for that. So here's the occupancy levels of all of those properties from April until July timeframe, but I can change that timeframe to move it into the end of the season and be able to determine some of this. And these are based on bookings. So the transaction has been on either Airbnb or Vrbo in terms of a booking. This does not track their check-ins. This is just booking data. So we know that they've made a reservation, and this is where the reservations are. It does show us the booking data that's backdated. So this is forward-looking based on reservations as opposed to back data like a Smith Travel Research Report, which shows us all of the booking data or the reservation and the transactional data from hotels. It has a ton of different KPIs. So we can look at average stay and what the dollar figure is estimated at for that. We can look at the revenue per room that's sold and what the person who owns the property, not necessarily individual properties, but during that time frame, what that money looks like from the revenue side for them. We do have a map visualization that breaks the county into different subsets and can kind of track that information as well. It gives us just a basic overview for the different areas and what the average daily rate is for that, the booking window. So for us, our booking windows are way out. Hammond's Port, 291 days, you can see there. So people, this is a repeat destination. People come, they book way ahead of time in advance because they love the place that they've stayed. But this is just new information that will also go onto this dashboard for Zartico. But I do have a contract with Key Data that supplies that information. So those are just the things that I wanted to share with you to show you that we're, you know, doing our research, doing our homework, and incorporating what we've learned into new assets that we can use to bring more people to stay longer and spend more money in Steuben County.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of that app. I mean, that's going to really help travelers, correct?
Yes. And we're working with the four chambers of commerce. We have meetings set up this week and next week to work with them to figure out ways for them to get their business partners to push the app for people as well when they come into the destination and to put it on their website to market it when people arrive in.
Mm-hmm. And my other comment is, you're getting a vast amount of data now compared to 10 years ago when it was so difficult to assess how well are we doing. But what does that really prompt you to do? Okay, you're looking at all this data and it looks, you know, very reality based. But is that, what is that doing for your future decisions?
Well, it has helped us to fine tune the places that we're putting our advertising. So the bulk of our advertising is digital. So either on social media or Google keywords. So, you know, all digital advertising, and you can change that on the fly. So as we see people, you know, changing from where we're seeing more people staying from coming in from Rochester or Buffalo because of COVID, when the restrictions start to ease more and we start seeing people coming and looking at our website and coming into market from, say, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, we can drop more dollars into those marketplaces right on the fly in response to that, knowing that that market has opened up and they're looking to come into the destination. So it's really helped us to be more nimble and change our marketing on the fly based on, you know, not guesswork, but actuality.
Good. Committee members have any questions? Go ahead.
So Kevin and his staff has really done a great job during the pandemic to get ready for when this new surge will start once people are vaccinated and are wanting to travel. So they've been positioning themselves in this area for the onslaught, hopefully, if we call it onslaught. But also I wanted to thank Kevin. Kevin did a great presentation at our inter-county meeting last month to talk about what they've done so far. But also, and I think that the legislature has received those, there's been a lot of these little communication efforts from his team for specific events and specific holidays, et cetera, that I think they've gone above board and done a great job with those. So I just wanted to comment on that.
Thanks, Lily. Yeah, we brought a new graphic designer, Craig Hills. He's on staff. He came on in the middle of the pandemic. I interviewed him in January of last year and offered him one of our vacant positions in April. And then the pandemic hit and he's like, are you still going to hire me? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hire you. So he's done a great job with our e-newsletter. He had a big background in that. And that's another tool that we're using a lot more than we have in the past.
Any other legislators with questions for Kevin? Okay. Thank you, Kevin. That was very enlightening. The technology is just amazing.
And I'll put together a packet of information. It'll probably be like in a PowerPoint presentation or a PDF. And I'm happy to either come back on a quarterly basis to share that information or send it to Chris and Jack and they can disseminate it. However you guys decide, just let Jack know and he can email me and I'm happy to do that. The data will come out. Like, I don't get my STAR report until the 16th of each month. So the quarterly report will be like halfway through the first month of the second quarter, if that makes sense.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll talk to Jack about it. Committee members, please give me feedback. I'm thinking quarterly reports would be good, but tell me what you think. Okay, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Any other business to come before the committee?
Robin, it's Amanda. I had linked a proposed resolution to the agenda under Cindy Campbell, so I don't know if the committee wants to entertain that. Regarding the National Heritage Area.
Hold on. The resolution?
Yes.
Everyone has that off your agenda? Have you read it?
I don't think I saw that.
Well, I saw it a couple of weeks ago, actually. I don't know what the source was. I think I got it. It might have gotten from Matt, I'm not sure.
But the resolution that I attached was one that Kevin had sent. And so I adjusted it to reflect how we do our resolutions, but it's basically what Cindy had presented this morning.
And it's generally just the resolution, it's the Steuben County Legislature in favors the heritage area. Doing it through committee will throw it to the month end meeting. Correct.
I'll make the motion.
Yes. Sorry, I did see it. I apologize. I remember reading that. Yes, I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you for that. Okay, with no other business, can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
I have a question for either Jack or Chris. I haven't been asked. We just update on where we are with the project and where we are on schedule, ahead of schedule, below cost, ahead of cost.
That is, it was so garbled, I couldn't even begin to understand. I'm sorry.
I couldn't understand.
Status update on building renovations. Can you hear that?
Jack?
Were you able to hear that, Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing that.
Update on building renovations?
Yeah.
Jack's on mute.
Jack, you're on mute.
Oops. So yeah, Chris, if you want to jump in, because you're on site more often downtown than I am, but everything appears to be on schedule, actually ahead of schedule for the building project and well within budget. We just had to dip into contingency for the first time for a small change order. So everything's looking good. One of the things that, I mean, it's a good problem that we're getting to this point, but one of the issues that we're running into is the timing of furniture delivery. Any non-removable furniture in OCA space is the responsibility of OCA. Anything that's attached to the ground is our responsibility. So they've ordered furniture, and it's been kind of a juggle between when a lot of their space is ready or about to be ready for them to move in here in April. But they're dealing with furniture delivery issues, which, you know, in the grand scheme is a small thing. But there have been change orders. You know, Gary and Eric and Chris and everyone continue to do a great job.
So, Jack, I have a question. Would you be able to assess a percentage of completeness as far as how far they've gotten?
Oh, geez. Chris, do you have a guess at that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say just a touch over half because you still have the courthouse on the corner that needs major work along with the surrogates building with a little bit left in Belcom. So I'd probably say it's around halfway, would you say, Jack?
Yeah, I'd say that would be my guess, too. I think, you know, we might be a little north of that right now, but just because everything in the county office building has gone very, very well. Belcom, obviously, was a bigger lift because it's an older building, but that work has gone well. But the courthouse the holding cell, security area, you know, and like Chris said, the surrogate building are not insignificant portions. They're pretty big portions of the project, but yeah, a high level ahead of schedule and within budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Robin, I have a question.
Hilda, go ahead.
So what's the status? Do we have any update on our goals? Especially VRBO.
I've emailed, it's tough to find the government affair, the email address for the government affairs, but they have a general inbox for government affairs for VRBO. And I have emailed them here recently and have not heard back yet, but I can certainly keep you posted.
Any other inquiries?
I guess you can't hear me because they put a brand new battery in this damn thing and it's already died. another question I had was regarding the Serview Credit Union buildings. It looks like the new headquarters is moving on well. I don't know what their schedule is for when they will vacate the old building. But I just want to make sure that we are ready for when they do vacate it and we're able to take title to it, that it's not a six-month process after the fact in order to get whatever work needs to be done and get moved into there.
So that's funny, Carol and I were discussing that this morning. So they're coming along quite well, moving along. So they're anticipating beginning of the fourth quarter to start moving stuff in and be occupied in there by the end of the year. So we still have, you know, 7 months, 6 months. So we have time, and I'm in contact quite regularly with Keith Orfanides, the senior VP there. So he's keeping me up to date on everything.
I think the second part of that is once we vacate the courthouse on First Street, Have we reached out yet? I know Jack Benjamin at the time when he ran Three Rivers had a potential developer that was interested in it. You know, at what point are we going to start trying to market that or talk with other development agencies about the use of that building and can we sell it?
Well, that's a great point. Jack would be able to speak to that.
Yeah, so I've had some continued conversations with Three Rivers Development and Corning Enterprises about potential interest. And then, you know, as we get here closer, we'll have to work with Jen in terms of the exact procedure that we have to go through, but we'll be ready to roll with that.
Okay.
And we had toured, just prior to COVID, we had toured Three Rivers, Corning Enterprises, and a few other economic development agencies through the building.
So there is interest.
At this moment, there was interest. People were kind of kicking the tires in terms of what it could be, what it couldn't be, those sort of things. Where it is right now in terms of development, I don't know. But certainly I think, you know, just because there is at least some parking, which, you know, at the Horn Oak Courthouse we did not have. I think, you know, I would be more confident in our ability to get, you know, something meaningful out of that.
So, Jack, I have a question. What about the land? Would the city be willing to sell the land with the building if we were to sell the building?
Well, yeah, so I've spoken with Mr. Reichman and also Jen Miller about the need that, you know, we'll, in the process, we'll have to do some deed cleanup, and they seem very open to that.
Okay. So moving forward, any other questions on building projects?
I'm Alter, just one. I'd kind of like to see what has gone on with the renovations of these buildings. Can we set up a tour or sit out there and take a look at this?
Or you actually have to go in and take a look at it.
I understand that.
Certainly, we could set something up at everybody's convenience.
That's what I do.
Yeah. You want to do that? Absolutely.
Because everybody's mostly here. Then.
Sure.
Okay. So I also have another question.
Go ahead, Hilda.
Can we get an update on the REDEC revolving loan program? How many businesses have taken advantage of it so far?
I don't have the information at hand, Hilda, but recently it has picked up, you know, as companies are heading into spring and summer with the change in the scope of the guidelines, it has picked up. So we're pretty happy with that. Obviously, it's a bit of a struggle right now because 2020 was not good for many of these area businesses that are seeking the money. But, you know, we're confident that all of it's going to be out the door. I believe, if I had to guess, we're probably 60% of the funds have been loaned out. So, you know, we still have a fairly substantial portion to give out. But last I knew, there's probably 8 or 10 in the queue in application status right now. So we're hoping to have that out the door, you know, by July, I would say.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Have we exhausted the questions? A motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.